Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Last night, President Bush and Senator Kerry took the floor at the University of Miami for the first of three presidential debates. Today, in the swirl of post-debate analysis, both the pundits and the polls are naming Kerry the debate's winner. But exactly what that means for the race and its outcome is by no means clear yet, and it matters most in those famous swing states. On the campaign trail today, George Bush went back on the attack in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Last night, Senator Kerry only continued his pattern of confusing contradictions. After voting for the war, after saying my decision to remove Saddam Hussein from power was the right decision, he now says it was all a mistake.
And in Tampa, Florida, John Kerry drove home his promise to stand firm as a leader on Iraq.
He says, we don't want to wilt or waver, and I don't know how many times I heard that. Well, Mr. President, nobody's talking about leaving. Nobody's talking about wilting and wavering. We're talking about winning and getting the job done right.
We are talking tonight with political reporters from swing states across the country and a couple of undecided voters themselves about how the debate is hitting the states where every vote counts. Tonight on Point, Bush, Kerry, the debate, and what swing voters in swing states are thinking now. Joining me from New York is Kathleen Frankovic, director of surveys at CBS News. Last night, CBS conducted a real-time internet survey of 200 undecided voters watching the debate, creating a running gauge of instant voter feedback, the first of many polls off the debate. Kathleen Frankovic, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
So you had an innovation here last night. You had voters, were they together or around the country,
no,
responding second by second?
They were in their own homes.
Okay.
They were assembled for us by a company called Knowledge Networks, which has a nationally representative sample of tens of thousands of Americans to whom they have given Web TV, which allows them to complete surveys over the Internet.
Right.
And in our case, evaluate moment by moment what it was they were seeing.
We want you to go beyond that and tell us how this is rippling out through all the polls, but give us first that very first American response to two American candidates. What did it look like?
Well, our uncommitted voters were clearly more impressed with Senator Kerry than they were with the president. These people went into the debate not necessarily approving of the way George W. Bush was handling his job, but clearly not liking John Kerry. Something like 14% of them had a favorable view of him before the debate. That changed quite dramatically as they watched. We could see evaluations of Senator Kerry actually start out in the negative direction, but move upwards as he answered specific questions.
How often were these viewers of the debate clicking in their attitude about what was going on, positive or negative?
They were moving a bar across a sliding bar mm-hmm. up and down sliding up and down a bar, actually, positive to negative. They were registering this as often as they wanted to. The technology allowed it to be gathered in every second and transmitted to us, aggregated, properly averaged, sent to us, and then we were able to display it.
So could you tell when John Kerry really scored with these viewers last night, when George Bush scored, when they each lost? What did it look like?
Yes, we could see that when John Kerry noted that the president had spent money in Iraq that could have been used to provide more policemen, more cops for Homeland Security, mm-hmm. that really helped Kerry. And it was especially good for him among women, whose ratings of him soared at that point. The president, interestingly enough, probably did the best when he, late in the debate, talked about his relationship with Vladimir Putin of Russia and concern for the people of Chechnya. So it was sort of an up and down thing. There was, however, clearly on nearly every question, looking at the level of the score that voters were giving the candidates on nearly every question, particularly questions about Iraq, it was John Kerry who outscored the president.
We should say it was probably George Bush expressing sympathy for the Russians in Beslan, attacked by Chechen terrorists.
I misspoke.
We've got it. But after starting in the negative and then gaining these points, what did the arc or the fever line, if that's what you got out of the show overall, where did people end up?
Well, at the end, we were able to ask these people questions so that we could actually tally their responses to the usual set of questions you ask after a debate. Immediately as the debate ended, as Jim Lehrer said, thank you, the technology allowed these people to see questions on their computers, on their television screens, and answer them. So on the key question for these uncommitted voters of who did the better job or won the debate, it was Kerry by 43% over the president, who got 28%. 29% of these uncommitted voters said that the debate was a tie. But, you know, one of the most striking findings was when we asked whether this affected their opinions of John Kerry, more than half said it made them think better about John Kerry. Just 14% said it made them feel worse
about
him.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? They're saying he won the debate and it made them think better of him.
And in many ways, it was he who was making an impression on the watchers.
Did you ask these uncommitted voters at the end of the debate if they were now committed or where they stood? The general, who would you vote for now?
You know, it was helpful to these voters, but it was not necessarily determinative. More than a third remained completely undecided when we asked them who they would vote for. And while John Kerry outscored the president 38% to 31%, that's not a massive movement in his direction. And, you know, polls taken immediately after the debate don't necessarily reflect any move that might happen by the voters in the ensuing days.
And, of course, that's true of polls taken in the 24 hours after the debate as well, and we have to take that into account. But, Kathleen Frankovic, if you would now, I mean, this was novel. It's kind of extraordinary to watch reaction as the debate goes on. But as you say, what really matters is how this sinks in and the impact it has on people's mind. What are polls saying? And we realize they're still early, but outside your immediate CBS poll, when you look out across the polling that's been done in the hours, the day now, since that debate, what do you see, Kathleen?
Two polls done last night, the Gallup CNN USA Today poll and the ABC poll, and both of them say pretty much the same thing, that debate watchers view were more likely to see John Kerry as having done the better job than to say George W. Bush had done the better job, and these are polls of registered or likely voters nationwide. But so far, no indication that it's changed many minds, so that the vote preference, this is clear in the ABC poll, the vote preference of those people interviewed after the debate looks very similar to the vote preference that they expressed in interviews conducted before the debate. So nothing yet.
And we're looking particularly at swing states tonight, Kathleen, where in the days, just the days coming up to this debate, the headlines were reading swing states, some swing states appear to be swinging to the president.
Well, national polls were suggesting that there was a clear 4 to 8 point lead for the president. And when that happens, those are sometimes national movements, so they would bring some of those swing states over towards the president's direction. I would suspect that when we look at the polling that's going to come out, conducted over the weekend, come out on Monday and Tuesday of next week, we will have a better handle on whether or not this debate changed minds and whether this debate has changed in any way the complexion of the race. And what's reflected in the national polls may then once again be reflected in the swing state polls. If Kerry closes the gap, then some of those swing states may not have swung as far as we thought they had this week.
New York Times says 9 most competitive states, Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Pennsylvania. We're going to hear from people in nearly half of those states tonight. But as you say, whatever the national numbers are, what really, to some significant extent, matters is what's going on in these states that they're still really fighting for electoral votes in.
That's right. And I think those states are going to change a little by little, week by week. I mean, you mentioned nine states. You know, as recently as a few weeks ago, we were talking about perhaps 18 swing states. Mm-hmm. New Jersey is mentioned now as one of the swing states. It was not part of the swing states group before the Republican convention.
Well, there you are. Second by second tracking of the debate, John Kerry winning there, but all this still to settle in. Kathleen Frankovic at CBS News, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We are talking tonight about the entire effort that you saw last night and how it's playing out across the country, the Bush-Kerry debate, talking about the Kerry showing, the Bush showing, and what swing voters in swing states are thinking about the candidates now. You can join this conversation. What did you hear last night from the candidates that could sway an undecided vote, that could sway you? And what still needs to be said to persuade the persuadables? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I am joined now by political reporters in two key swing states. First, from Des Moines, Iowa, David Yepsen joins us. He's a political reporter with the Des Moines Register and a big name there and across the country. David Yepsen, marvelous to have you tonight. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Tom.
And with us from Portland, Oregon, chief political reporter for the Oregonian newspaper, Jeff Mapes. Jeff, thanks very much for joining us.
Nice to be here.
David Yepsen, to you first, if I may. Your headlines marching up to these debates. September 9th, Yepsen, Kerry's on quicksand but hold the obituary. September 21st, Yepsen, Kerry needs stellar debates as Bush gains big mo. What do you think Iowans saw in last night's debate, David?
I think Kerry did himself some good. I think he won the debate. Public opinion in this state pretty well mirrors the national polling. So the sort of thing that Kathleen Frankovic saw in her data, I think you could say safely we saw something similar in this state. Just the anecdotal stuff today that I have heard talking to people around town and so forth. I think Kerry did well. President did not have a very good night, but this race is not over. Kerry did not have a stellar performance, but he had a performance that gave his campaign a big psychological boost. For weeks now, there's been a lot of bad things being said about Senator Kerry and his campaign, and he needed some good news, and he got it.
David Yepsen, let me just ask you, you said he didn't have a stellar performance, though pretty much across the board, pundits, polls saying he won. In your estimation, what's the difference between the performance he gave and what might have been, in your view, a stellar performance?
Well, there's nothing that I thought was that memorable about this debate. The great lines that we all saw played and replayed leading up to this debate, I don't think we saw any of those. I mean, you know, there you go again, or I won't make fun of your age or take advantage of your age. I mean, the great memorable one-liners from American political debates weren't seen here. And I think part of that is due to the fact that we're at war. And I think that the topic that was being discussed, I think the backdrop of the conflict sobered both of these candidates. This was a serious debate. I thought it was a good debate. But to use the old sports metaphors, you know, no home runs, no knockouts, that kind of thing.
Maybe a little bit muted. Jeff Mapes in Portland, Oregon. What are you hearing from readers, from citizens, from voters there about how they saw and heard the debates, how they've gone down, and do you see that it affecting where the needle stands in Oregon?
Well, we did an interesting thing last night. I and another reporter called about 10 or 11 voters who said they were undecided or wavering in their opinions in sort of their snap judgment. This is literally minutes after the debate ended, was it seemed to push them in the direction they were already headed. So in other words, if they were leaning toward the president, it seemed to confirm them a little bit more that way. Vice versa with those who were leaning toward Kerry. But still, the overwhelming sentiment seemed to be among those folks, well, I'm not ready to make a total commitment yet. I want to catch the next debate. Also, certainly is indicative of, I think, all the reviews about generally Kerry having a good performance is even what one woman I talked to, I remember in particular, she was very articulate, a Republican who said she's likely to vote for the president because she just doesn't think we should change horses in the middle of the stream in this very dangerous international time, as she put it, said she was very impressed by John Kerry and said, you know, the man really makes you think. So
he made her think, but he didn't make her change her vote.
No, he didn't do that. And, you know, in all honesty, this was probably a woman, given her demographics, that would have been a tough one for the Democrats to get anyway. But that tells you something that you know, she's probably going to vote for the president, but she even came away with a more favorable impression of the Democrat.
John Kerry making her think. Of course, what he needs is her vote. President Bush wants it as well. We're talking about how the debate hit the swing states last night. You can join the conversation. Did you somehow still go in undecided last night? And if so, how did you come out on the candidates? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about how the debate hit the swing states, how the Bush and Kerry performances last night outside Miami played with the voters that now most count in swing states right across this country. I'm joined tonight from Des Moines, Iowa, by David Yepsen, political reporter with the Des Moines Register. From Portland, Oregon, by Jeff Mapes, chief political reporter with the Oregonian newspaper. You can join us as well. Who turned in the winning performance last night? Was it strong enough to swing the swing states, the swing voters? And how do you interpret the swing state chemistry? What are these voters looking for? What are they waiting for? And there's this: if Kerry won the debate, why haven't we yet seen a bigger jump for him in the polls? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. David Yepsen, where did the Iowa polls stand before this debate? And is there any indication, however early yet, of where they may be headed?
The early polls, there have been a lot of polls in this state. If you're a swing state, you're hammered
polls.
By pollsters.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere from 4 to 8%, you average them out, about 5 points ahead for President Bush. I think Jeff made a good point about what he saw in the undecided voters there, and that was they were paying some attention, but they haven't made up their mind. If you're the sort of individual who is still undecided at this point, and you feel like you want to see these debates, I don't think you're going to make up your mind until you see more than what you saw last night. You pay some attention. Many voters don't watch the whole debate. They have mm-hmm. other things to do with their time.
They get sleepy. They go to bed.
Well, and they watch television news, mm-hmm. local television newscasts. I often think that the most important decisions that get made in these debates are the sound bites that local television news producers snip out of these debates and use on the evening news. A person who may not want to sit through 90 minutes learns about that debate, gets their first television impressions of that from a local television newscast. But that said, I mean, your question about what the effect is here, I think it helped Senator Kerry. It energized him. Bush may go down a point. Certainly, these debates, you know, we pay very close attention to them. But this is a close election in this country. People are passionately divided. And there was just nothing last night to shake up that dynamic.
Jeff Mapes, let me put the same question to you first. Where the polls, as the most recent ones, stand in Oregon now? And then, you know, last night, the White House, Republicans, some of them were thinking President Bush might actually essentially knock Kerry out of the debate race last night. That didn't happen at all. Was the showing good enough, do you think, to change where Iowa's headed?
Well, I don't know about Iowa, but...
I'm sorry, Oregon, excuse me.
Oregon, yeah. We had a poll, as it happened, the Oregonian had a poll that was in the paper yesterday morning and showed essentially a neck-and-neck race here, Kerry at 47, Bush 45, which frankly is bad news for Kerry because this is a Democratic-leaning state, has gone Democrat in the last four elections.
Al Gore won by 6,000 or 7,000 votes in 2000.
Well, that was very close, although a factor in that was that Nader did very well here,
mm-hmm.
Ralph Nader, in 2000.
Is he on the ballot there this year?
No, he is not, mm-hmm. Which was a long saga in itself. But an important thing to remember is Oregon's the only state in the country with an all-male ballot. We don't go to the polling place here. Everybody votes by mail, and a lot of people... One reason I think that Ralph Nader did well in 2000 is a lot of people voted and returned their ballot before they knew just how close the race was going to be on election day.
So what do you think, Jeff, what's your assessment if John Kerry won last night but in your estimation didn't win with enough sizzle to move the needle much yet, what more does he need to do?
Well, I can tell you in Oregon, I think his generally good performance was very important last
mm-hmm,
night
mm-hmm.
for energizing the Democrats.
So it may have changed the balance there.
Yeah, well, but there's an important thing is that, and I imagine you're seeing a lot of this in Iowa, is we're seeing get-out-the-vote campaigns, not just by the Democrat and Republican parties, but by the so-called 527 groups, mm-hmm. America Coming Together.
Right. MoveOn.org and the rest.
Sierra Club, League of Conservation Voters. I mean, it is amazing the amount of ground activity here. I've been talking to some county clerks today. They are just flooded with new voter registrations. And it is very important for the Democrats to keep those ground troops energized. And I think that's what his performance did last night. I mean, if they had come out of that debate feeling that the president had won, that, you know, feeling discouraged,
yeah, yeah.
That would have been very tough for the Democrats.
And in fact, it's just the other way around. You could see them just dancing last night and again today, Democrats. John Kerry bounding on the stage wherever he was. You think that could make a difference there? It sounds like it could make a difference with the base as well, right across the country.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is if you don't have the ground troops out working very hard all the way up till Election Day, I mean, that's the best hope that the Democrats have, and the Republicans, I mean, the grassroots effort is important for them as well.
Jeff Mapes, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Sure. Thank you.
Jeff Mapes, chief political reporter with The Oregonian in Portland, Oregon. David Yepsen, stand by. I want to turn now to Ohio, a longtime swing state where Bush has been edging ahead in recent weeks. We've been talking there over the last several months, I guess, at this point, with two undecideds, those famous undecideds, how they hang in there, the nation asks. Let's see what they're thinking today. We're joined from Miamisburg, Ohio, by Daniel Goddard. He's a 43-year-old aerospace engineer, voted Gore in 2000. Daniel, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
And from Dayton, Ohio, by Dana Mark Bales, another swing voter, 54-year-old businessman, leans Republican. Dana, thank you for being with us.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
So it must be the third time we've talked now. I guess there's more evidence on every front that would help a voter make up his or her mind. And last night, the debate. Dana, here we are the morning after. Have you, drum roll, please, have you yet decided?
Well, if the election were held today, I would be voting for Kerry, but I sure wouldn't call that a safe-in-his-pocket vote. And I'm not sure that anybody really has to make that decision right before Election Day. I think we should all try to keep an open mind.
So you're saying it would be Kerry today, but you're still holding that open mind. I want to ask about that. But first, let me go, Daniel, to you. Where are you the day after the debate?
I guess, like Dana, I'm also leaning towards Kerry. I feel a little bit like him. Maybe I keep flip-flopping between Bush and Kerry.
Oh, boy.
I think right now, if, like Dana said, if the vote was held tomorrow morning and I went to the poll, I'd have to vote for Kerry. But I'm going to wait until I've seen all the debates to make my final choice.
Now, George Bush has been in office in the White House for 4 years. John Kerry's been on the stump for months. I'm trying to get at what it is that keeps people holding open. Are you just fickle, Dana Mark Bales, or is there something in particular you're worried might appear that would throw you off your vote as of today?
Well, I don't think I'm fickle. You know, I do vote in every election, and I hope with well-balanced thought behind every vote I make.
No offense intended. I'm just trying
sure.
to plumb what keeps you fluid.
Well, the fact that there are different issues that I think both candidates are strong on. I think if we were to look at it just very objectively, if we normally, under normal situations, had a president where the economy had tanked like it has, where the stock market has done so badly, where we are perceived overseas in such a poor light, that it would be very difficult for that president to win. However, George Bush is correct in saying that 9/11 changed the equation on a lot of different things in a lot of different ways, and he has done an excellent job of connecting with the American people, of rallying us, of pulling us together. You know, you have to give him credit for that. And I remember right after 9/11, I was thankful, actually, that Bush was our president and not Gore.
Mm-hmm. So you're feeling a little bit of debt there. But yet, on the day after the debate, this is the first time you've each said with quite this firmness that if the election were right now, it would be Kerry. Daniel Goddard, what about the debate has helped push you to that decision?
Well, I was looking for leadership, I guess, during the debate, and I think I saw that in John Kerry. I saw that he could be a concise, thoughtful leader and maybe more so than Bush could. Bush just seems to shoot from the hip quite a bit, go with his emotions, and I don't think that's the best characteristics of the leader of the strongest nation in the free world. So I think that's what kind of swung me towards Kerry after watching last night's debate.
And Dana, how about you watching what went on in Miami?
Well, I do think one thing that obviously was Kerry's goal was to be able to project firmness, that he wouldn't cave in to the terrorists, he wouldn't cave in to our adversaries, and I do think he did an excellent job of communicating that last night.
So when you talk to your neighbors, perhaps those who are still leaning or not sure, do you feel a consensus out there on that or not?
Do you know, I still know a lot of people, even who voted for Gore, who felt very strongly, again, that Bush has just done such an excellent job of connecting with us in a time of crisis that they didn't want to change horses in the middle of the stream. It will be interesting a few days after this debate and when things settle down a little to see if they feel more comfortable in switching horses to John Kerry.
Well, and so the drama goes on. We hear where you're putting your chips on this day. We may have to check in with you yet again. It's been fascinating talking with you over these weeks and months. Dana Mark Bales and Daniel Goddard in Ohio, thank you both for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
David Yepsen in Des Moines, listening from Iowa over to Ohio. What do you hear in these two swing voters now swinging to John Kerry?
Well, I thought it was interesting, Daniel's point. He said, I want to wait till I see all the debates before I make a final choice. So that sort of illustrates what we were talking about earlier, yeah, that if these debates are the kind of thing that an undecided voter is paying attention to, then we have two more to go and one vice presidential debate. So there's plenty of opportunity here for the dynamic to change again. Tom, I saw a figure today I think it's worth sharing.
Mm-hmm.
In Gallup's polling of presidential debates, in the last five, the candidate who won the debate, the first debate,
yeah,
lost the election.
Ouch.
Gallup asked respondents in 84, in 88, in 92, mm-hmm, all these elections, who won? Mondale in 84, Dukakis in 88, Ross Perot in 92, and Al Gore in 2000. So I think we have to be careful of number one, assuming that a good debate performance equals a vote.
Absolutely.
And secondly, there's time for Bush to recalibrate here. His expectations have lowered. The president, as any good politician, is going to watch his own performance and say, that was awful. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I was overcoached. I was fumbling around with my notes. He'll get better. I've heard all kinds of things today about what his problem was. One of them was it was in the East Coast time zone, which is a little late in the day for him.
Because he's a Crawford guy, is that it?
Right. When it moves to the central time zone or the mountain time zones, you will have a better performance. So we have a long way to go here.
We're going to hear in a few minutes from a reporter who was with George Bush today in another swing state, Pennsylvania, and Bush came out really swinging with some freshly honed lines that I'm sure his staff sat around and gave him a lot of push on. But first, I want to go to Kissimmee, Florida. We're joined by Leslie Clark. She's a political writer for the Miami Herald. She was in Miami last night, has been traveling with John Kerry's campaign today. Leslie Clark, thanks for being with us.
Hey, good evening.
Tell us about John Kerry on the stump today. Could you see the glow of a man who thought he had won?
Oh, you absolutely could. He one of the first things he did when he took to the stage after giving a sort of a nod to the hurricane victims was to ask everybody, did you see the debate last night?
And did the crowd respond to that?
And the crowd pretty much roared with cheers. Yeah, absolutely.
His
advisors were saying on the plane that they had the war room last night had erupted in high fives, too many to count.
A lot of spin on all sides, but it's hard to disguise when there's genuine positive feeling, chemistry. Leslie Clark, let me ask you about whatever you've seen about how this actually went down in Florida, how Florida's another one of the swing states, how viewers and voters there perceived what they saw on the screen coming out of Coral Gables.
Well, judging from the Kerry, a very partisan audience is here today. They seem to absolutely like what they say. The crowds were, large and enthusiastic and enjoyed what he had to say.
And what about in Kerry's delivery today? The format of the debate forced him in some ways to be concise and brief. Did you see that carrying over onto the stump?
Yeah, he did pretty much kept to pretty brief remarks today when he was up at both of the rallies, which he has done before in rally situations. It's when they ask him questions that he has a real tendency to sort of ramble.
So a very up chemistry today in the Kerry campaign. Leslie Clark with the Miami Herald, thanks a lot for joining us
tonight.
Okay,
thanks.
Let's turn to our callers. A lot of them want to join this conversation. Wendy is calling from another swing state, New Hampshire, Kingston, New Hampshire. Hi, Wendy. You're on the air.
I wanted to call and tell them that up until last night, I was an undecided voter.
Okay.
After watching the debate, I have decided I'm definitely voting for John Kerry. He was so concise, and his ideas really spoke to me. And unfortunately, when George Bush was asked questions, he just seemed to be repeating what he'd been saying on the stump speeches. And I've been following the election closely and just couldn't make up my mind, but last night clinched the deal for me.
So you saw in John Kerry a candidate who you think would or could do what for the country, given that performance that George Bush might not?
Well, he's going to change our direction in Iraq, which I really respect, and I like the idea of bringing in other countries instead of just more of the same from George Bush. I think over 1,000 of our troops dead isn't doing us any good.
And you are on the board for Kerry now. Wendy, we've got it up there in that swinging New Hampshire. Thanks a lot for joining us. Let's get one more call before the break. David is calling from Nicholasville, Kentucky. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Just great, thanks.
Definitely not calling from a swing state and definitely not a swing voter. But I did have one point that I noticed during the debate. Kerry said that he knows that Osama bin Laden is in Afghanistan. And I thought that was a remarkable gaffe, you know, on the order of Gerald Ford freeing Poland during the Soviet days.
Now, I don't recall that precise remark. He said that bin Laden is now in Afghanistan. Is that right?
He said that. You know, go check the tape, because my mouth dropped open when I heard that.
The point you're making is he could be in Pakistan. He could be in Afghanistan. We don't know where he is. Is that your point, David?
That's part of it. You know, the rest of it is, you know, I wish that President Bush had caught on at that point and said, well, you know, you've given us remarkable news.
Yeah,
give me
right.
The coordinates,
off
and we'll
go
get him.
Off we go. Do I detect that you're a Bush supporter in spite of the debate, or did you actually think Bush won the debate last night, David?
You know, it's funny. I was with a large crowd watching the debate and really couldn't see it very well, so I was just listening to the words.
Yeah.
And what I've heard some people say is that it was a different debate. You know, it might have been a different debate on radio, because I definitely didn't. I guess I wasn't seeing a lot of the facial expressions, and I understand that perhaps President Bush looked like he was bored at some points and was making grimacing.
Yeah, looked a little uncomfortable, sometimes peeved. I saw the word turtling, the way he was kind of hunching his shoulders in exasperation at certain points.
Right. But all I heard was the words, and I thought it just sounded great. Though, of course, you know, granted, I would probably be saying that under any circumstances, but I will say that President Bush is working a very, very difficult full-time job all the time, and John Kerry's, you know, not even showing up for votes in the Senate. No wonder he looks kind of tanned, rested, and ready.
I guess there's advantages on both sides here. We've got to take a break. David in Kentucky, solid Bush man. Thanks for calling in. We're talking tonight about how the debate hit the swing states. David Yepsen of the Des Moines Register is with us. You can join us, too. Kerry looked smart, but did he look like a winner? Bush looked uncomfortable, but did he look like a loser? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about how the debate hit the swing states, how it hit you. You can join the conversation tonight. What will it take to persuade the persuadable American vote? And here's this. Could Kerry win all the debates and still lose the election? What's that about? And how's your state of mind being spun now? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've been joined tonight from Des Moines, Iowa, by David Yepsen, political reporter with the Des Moines Register, and now from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, by Pete DeCourcy, a political writer for the Harrisburg Patriot News. Pete, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
So you were with President Bush today. I'm looking here at a news story about his appearances in Pennsylvania. And if he didn't have every witty, powerful riposte last night, he sure had them today. He came out swinging two-fisted.
Yeah. But even the people at the Bush rallies who were rooting for Bush with all their hearts were telling me today, Tom, that here's a guy who they wish had been as good last night as they were today. I talked to a number of Bush voters who had, could not remember seeing the president on the defensive before. And I think that was really the image. Even Bush voters, at least more than half of the maybe 20 or 30, about 25 Bush voters I talked to at this rally said something along the lines of, I wish he'd been as good tonight. I mean, we all had that, you know, experience where you lose an argument and then you think of all the things you should have said. President Bush had a chance in front of 5,000 people in Allentown to say them.
He said them today. He got them on the record, and we'll look at some of that. But David Yepsen in Des Moines, to you first. There really doesn't seem to be much contesting the Kerry victory verdict here, even among GOP.
No, there's not. And the professionals in this business look at the polling data. They trust their instincts, and it's clear. Kerry did well in this. He had a solid performance. He didn't put Bush away. Pete is not telling us that people deserted Bush's rally today or anything like that. You know, you have ebb and flow in a campaign. You have ups and downs, and Bush has hit a little bit of a rough patch here.
Yeah, I think the key here, Tom, is not that the swing voters were persuaded, because, frankly, I'm tracking a bunch of swing voters, and hardly any of them watched the debate. I mean, most
out of all those 62 million people watching, the ones who don't know how to vote yet aren't watching?
Well, because you got to remember, most of those folks are folks who are really busy. I'm sure David has run into this too. Half the time you actually track one of these folks to their lair, they're too busy to talk to you. They got a kid in an arm. They got a soccer game to be at.
And that's why they're not decided in part.
They're not decided because they're busy and they don't. This is not due this week. You know,
I think, Tom, I think
yes.
You made a very good point there.
Mm-hmm.
Not all undecided voters are like your guests from Ohio, who are people paying very close attention to
mm-hmm.
this, weighing each debate and each event in the campaign. A lot of these undecided voters, as Pete mentioned, have lives. You know, there are other things you got to get done on a Thursday night. And the idea you have 90 minutes to just intensely watch this, some of these undecided voters, frankly, are not paying that close of attention, and some of them probably will not vote.
Some of them will not. But what was interesting to me was in talking to so many of the Kerry supporters, and I just got off the phone an hour ago with a gentleman from Erie who told me, I used to be against Bush, now I'm for Kerry. At least in Pennsylvania, and I believe this is roughly reflected in other states, although I'm not precisely sure of the national ranking here, Kerry voters in Pennsylvania break down to 45% pro-Kerry, 55% anti-Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever won a state by being the guy against somebody. You got to move that number somewhere above 60, history in Pennsylvania shows. I don't know what it is nationally. David would probably know. But what Kerry did last night was to make it hipper for the Democrats who are going to vote for him anyway to talk about him and to find something to praise in him rather than to sound like Michael Moore.
So it gave them permission, a window, encouragement, a fire to be excited.
A talking point, really.
Pete DeCourcy, the president, with a night to think about it and no doubt a lot of rhetorical help from back at the ranch, came out just pounding on Kerry today on all the points that he, I guess the consensus is, did not respond so well to last night. He said, my opponent has a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of the war against terror, and he has no plan to win in Iraq. Of course, Kerry laid one out, but today Bush said, forget about it. He said, the cornerstone of Kerry's plan for Iraq is that he would convene a summit. I've been to lots of summits. I've never seen a meeting that would depose a tyrant or bring a terrorist to justice. And right on down the line, he said, I will never submit America's national security to an international test. I mean, Karl Rove and crew really got in there and gave the president the talking points today that he didn't seem to have last night.
I think there were two things here, and I think they're equally important. Number one, I'm told by aides that the president got a good night's sleep last night and that he was unwise enough, I think you have to say, or president, or actually enough of a public official would be the nice way to say it, to spend a decent part of yesterday talking to people who had been victims of the weather in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to criticize somebody for actually doing their job on the day of a debate. But in fact, I think if you look at a lot of it, you're right, there were some good new lines today, and certainly somebody stayed up all night writing them. But the president didn't. And the second thing that I think is that if you watch today, the body language is completely different. The president's shoulders were just about invading his earlobes for a decent piece of last night.
They sure were.
Today, he was relaxed. He stood erect. He had his sleeves rolled up. It was weird because the guy who lives in Washington had a good tan, and the senator from Arizona, John McCain, looked like Casper the Friendly Senator.
John, who was right, John McCain right alongside him there. Pete, of course, let me ask you this, though. The phrase makers came out last night, and they armed President Bush with strong new language for today. But still, John Kerry got the knife in last night. And I wonder if, in your view, that Bush's logic began to break down in those debates last night. Did his case begin to fray, despite the good phrasing now?
I'm not sure, because I thought at the latter part of the debate, Bush actually recouped, and despite his not great body posture and some of the what one Republican voter called the weird faces that he made, he actually caught Kerry in a couple of errors, you know, which is, you know, literally a sort of an upset, because most voters in Pennsylvania, at least, give Kerry credit for being smarter than Bush. Bush did catch him in a couple of factual errors.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem was they didn't give him enough material for the debate. I mean, he must have repeated that line about the mixed messages, I would bet you, 5 to 10 times.
He sure did.
And I don't think he sold it once. And I noticed today that line was down to one mention in the speech at Allentown.
Almost gone. David Gibson, let me ask you on that point. On the stump lately, President Bush has these screen crowds and a rapturous reception, but last night, here he was head-to-head, and Kerry clearly got under his skin, under his argument. Did the president's argument begin to show as too simple, as too thin?
Yes. It was repeated so many. I mean, staying on message is one thing, but overdoing it is something else. I agree with Pete. I think he in one sense, he didn't have enough material. He didn't have enough of these message points he wanted to make, and yet he was out there fumbling around. You know, he obviously had notes and things he was supposed to say, and you know, was being very defensive about all sorts of things. Kerry just time and again had him on the defensive, and that looks bad. And I think after Bush looks at this and maybe gets a decent night's rest before the next debate, he can stay a little more focused on three or four broad themes about the next debate. Will be about is a town meeting, and so it'll be a wider ranging thing. I think that's the sort of the cure for this.
Pete, do you think it's possible the president's argument has been punctured, though, in a way that will make it difficult to reinflate to that same, road-tested pressure as before?
No, I really don't. I think that this was the toughest area for the president, because he has made provable there have been things he has said and done which were based on evidence that turned out not to be right.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I think, his most vulnerable area. I know a lot of pundits I saw last night before I wrote my own column about this said that, oh, Bush's, you know, home turf is foreign policy, but David, you know, probably lived with him for a while in 1998 and 1999. I don't think that's true. I think Bush is a guy who finds foreign policy his homework assignment, his special project since 9/11. But I think that he has a much stronger message, even though, again, Mr. Kerry has a strong rejoinder on domestic issues. I think you're going to see what happened is that Kerry has a special love for foreign policy. So Kerry was actually the guy who was having a great time last night. Kerry has always wanted to debate foreign policy as a presidential candidate. I would bet $100 on that statement. Mr. Bush, I would bet you, has never stayed up at night saying, oh, boy, it'd be great if I could debate foreign policy as a president.
And yet, the Republican convention was built around it, and the Republicans had a big head of confidence expressed coming into this debate. What a picture. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's turn to a call. Mike is calling from Arnold, Missouri. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I watched the debate last night, and I have to tell you, I've been hoping for George Bush and pulling for him to be successful in Iraq. And I've really always thought all along that the Bin Laden and Afghanistan – But you don't hear much about it, and I haven't heard much. So I've gone along, and I've been leaning his way.
Yeah.
And I haven't really ever really got a good look at Kerry.
And now?
Other than what I've seen, you know, on the commercials. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you, after last night's debate, I was like a veil had been lifted. I mean, I actually saw things I never really saw in both candidates. And I was really impressed with Kerry. I just felt it just like a magnet. I drew right to him. And I saw Bush in a whole different light. And
what was that light, Mike?
It was sad. I felt sad because I felt like he was like walked in a direction that in recent months, I felt that it's what's happening in Iraq is just becoming stagnant. I haven't seen any positive light and hoping for positive light and hoping the president will deliver something that will continue me to rallying. But I just haven't seen it. And last night it was as if a veil had lifted and I saw this guy he just looked entirely just disconnected and just like he kept repeating things that I had heard that I had been, you know, actually rallying with. But it's like it's old.
Suddenly left you cold, and it sounds like you're really buying the substance of John Kerry's attack in logic there, turning you away from Bush. Mike, thanks for calling in from Missouri. Let me get one more call here. Ben is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Just great, Ben. What's on your mind?
Good. I just want to say I voted for Nader in 2000. I've been trying to decide between Bush or Nader this year. I'm kind of an odd bird, I guess.
How do you put those two up as your choices? Why not between Kerry and Nader? It'd be more typical, wouldn't it?
The environment really matters to me, but I haven't really heard much from either candidate, from either Bush or Kerry, about the environment. So I just consider it to be more or less a wash.
It really matters to you? Have you looked at the record of these guys? I mean, I have to say, Kerry gets pretty high scores from all the environmental groups. George Bush does not.
Right. But for the most part, I mean, under like Clinton, for example, the Democrats, to me, over the last 8 years, haven't really done a whole lot for the environment. So back in 2000, I was actually in Illinois. Voting for Nader at that point really didn't make much of a difference because it was going to go with Gore no matter what.
Ben, our time's going down. Out of the debate last night, if you had to vote right now, where would your vote go?
Probably Bush. The reason is this. At the debate, at least for the debate last night, to me, the style maybe went to Kerry. He seemed a little bit more articulate. But I kind of liked the vision that Bush laid out. Kerry didn't really seem to present much of a vision, even if you may have won the talking points.
Ben, we've got it. We've just got a minute here to wrap up. Pete DeCourcy, let me put it to you, having seen what you saw last night, what are you now anticipating in these two remaining debates? I hear you saying you think it may swing to Bush may be stronger on the domestic front.
I think that's true, but you got to remember what we saw today, and you pointed this out. Bush was very strong at a rally. Kerry is very strong in debates, so I think that now if Bush can even tie him at a debate, it becomes one of those reverse Reagan situations with Walter Mondale.
And David Yepsen, in your gut, how do you see this now? Is this still the full horse race? Is Bush still ahead by that nose or head? Or what's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me the race has tightened up some. We'll see that in the polls in the next few days. This thing is not over. The campaigns ebb and flow. Candidates have good days, they have bad days, they have conventions, they have debates. We're in a hiatus period here where people are paying attention to debates. They're going to be making up their minds. I think we have to look at the whole package of these and then make some judgments about how it plays in swing states.
It's going to be fascinating to see how George Bush comes to that next debate. What are you expecting body language and language-wise, David, next time out?
Bush will be much more laid back, and I think he'll do better. I think the overcoaching will be gone.
Wow, it's going to be something to look forward to. Quite a performance already last night, despite all the concerns about the format. I thought it was pretty riveting. David Yepsen, terrific having you with us this hour. Thank you so much for joining us from Des Moines.
Thank you.
David Yepsen, political reporter with the Des Moines Register and in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with the Harrisburg Patriot News. Pete DeCourcy. Pete, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation online at onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.